Lord, we love you. We exalt you, Lord. Ah, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you visit him. You've made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with honor and glory. Oh, Lord, you're so good. All the time, you're so good to us. We give you thanks today, Lord. Have your way today, Lord. Have your way. None of us are able to achieve righteousness. If you think that you can just somehow make some life corrections and achieve righteousness, you'll never be righteous. Righteousness must be received. And righteousness is Jesus, who is our righteousness, the Lord, our righteousness. And when you receive him who is righteous, he makes you righteous. And when you are made righteous, you bear righteous fruit. But you cannot achieve righteousness in your own strength or ability. That's why a lot of people remain bound, is because they're trying to fix themselves. The world is good at self-help books and self-help CDs. But Jesus is into transformation and life-changing. Amen. He doesn't patch up the old man. He discards the old man and gives you a new heart. But you must be born again. And you're not born again because some preacher told you you're born again. You're not born again because you said some sinner's prayer and somebody told you you're born again. If you're born again, you will have the witness in you. The Spirit of God will bear witness with you that you are a child of God. Amen? Because if a person doesn't come to repentance, they're not going to be born again. That's the beginning of the change. It's not about being remorseful or just remorseful. Remorse, amen, does not necessarily change your heart. You can be sorry that you got caught. You can be sorry about something that happened in your life, and even about something you did. But repentance means I changed my mind. I did what was necessary to transform, amen, my thinking and my way of life, my direction. And I did that by simply coming to the only one who could give me the ability or the power to overcome myself and my self-righteousness. You know, when we see ourselves in light of how God sees us, amen, it can humble you. It will humble you. Without Christ, none of us are righteous. He is our righteousness. So if we're going to boast, we always boast in the Lord. And that's why we come together and we praise the Lord. We make our boast in our God for what he has done, for the things he has done, for the grace of God. Amen? I've tried to live a good life, a holy life. I've tried to be a good Christian. I had somebody ask me one time, are you a good Christian? I thought, man, that is a loaded question here. And you know, just like that, the Lord dropped it in me. He says, well, I'm somewhere in the journey, but I'm not who I used to be. And I'm not who I'm going to be. God is in the process of preparing us for eternity. But guys, sometimes, you know, people are not even in the door. And sometimes people are trying to build on a foundation that is still flesh. It is still of Adam. In Adam all die. The natural man cannot be coddled. You can't improve the natural man. The natural man has to be put to death. God does not accept the Adamic nature that we were born with. That is the problem. What God does accept is his righteousness. His righteousness is Christ in you. And I'm only righteous because of him who is righteous. And when I am righteous in him, then I have righteous fruit in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a hard hoe when you're just in this to save yourself. When you're trying so hard to be holy and godly and good. The Lord knows that we're incapable of being good in ourselves. That's what Paul meant when he said, In me I find no good thing. He says, I will to do good, but I can't do it. He's talking about the natural man. Amen? That old nature. That you can't improve that thing. You can't add to that thing. You can't put a new patch, right, on an old garment, like Jesus said. You need to discard the old garment. You need a new set of clothes. You need a brand new beginning. You must be born again. And today's message is entitled, Almost Saved. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask for your grace today. I ask you to give me the words to speak, Holy Spirit. God, I ask you to open the eyes of the hearts. Touch every heart here, God. Father, I believe there are those who are lost who think they're found. God, I pray that you would save today. That you'd bring people, Lord, to a saving knowledge of you. Father, to that new transformation, that beginning, that new life in you, Lord. God, you said unless we're born again, we cannot enter the kingdom. But God, we have to know that we're lost. We have to know that we can't save ourselves. We have to know that all of our efforts are in vain. We've got to give our life to you, and we've got to allow you to have full control of our lives, God. We have to allow you to be Lord, to give up this fight and surrender to you. For there is salvation in none other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. The Bible's very clear that there will be those who will fail to receive the grace of God, that they might be saved. In other words, they will fall short of the glory of God. And they may look like a Christian, by the way. They may talk like a Christian, profess to be a Christian, and even do Christian things, but not be a Christian, not be saved. Judas was numbered among the 12 original disciples. And yet Judas turned out to be a hypocrite. He was a traitor and a man who was never truly converted. We know this because the disciples made mention of this when they chose Matthias to replace him. In Acts chapter 1:24, and they prayed and said, O Lord, you, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. What that means is where he deserves to go. Judas went to hell. And when Paul was permitted to give a defense of his ministry before King Agrippa, he was able to almost convince the king. See, Judas was a man who was in association with the Lord. He was close, but not close enough. He wasn't transformed. He partook of the ministry, by the way. God had sent him out with the 12 to do kingdom business, healing the sick, casting out demons. Agrippa said to Paul after he was before him giving his defense of his ministry, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. How many know that almost is not close enough, right? It will not save you. And guys, I say this because my heart grieves for people who almost become Christians or who are almost Christians, but they're not Christians, even though they do Christian things and they claim to be Christians, and yet their life speaks something totally different. Because a tree is known by its fruit. That's right. Peter referred to these people as wells without water. 2 Peter 2:17, these are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Because those who refuse the love of the truth will be held accountable. 2 Peter 2 and verse 20 says, for if, listen, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. Again, Judas had shared in everything that the 11 had shared in. He was near to Jesus, yet his heart was far from him. See, you can be in association, you can be involved in even the things of God, but where is your heart? He was almost saved. Esau is another example of someone who forsook eternal life for the temporal pleasures of this life. Hebrews 12:15, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. It was too late. Once the blessing had been transferred to Jacob, it was too late. He had squandered it. There is a time of God's favor, of God's grace, when God is reaching out, when God is even striving with mankind, amen, as it was even in the days of Noah. We're in that time again. God is striving. His Spirit is striving with people. But it won't be forever. There's appointed a day, isn't there, when he, the Lord Jesus, will judge the world in righteousness. We know this because he's been raised from the dead. You know, there's a connection between sexual immorality and spiritual apostasy. And you see this, even this man Esau was referred to as a fornicator. Speaks of what? Sexual immorality or unfaithfulness. In Hebrews 13 and 4, it says, marriage is honorable among all and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. That's the Bible. That's the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9 says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither what? Fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. But to the repentant, he went on to say in verse 11, and such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You see, because you have truly repented from your heart, God forgave you, God cleansed you, God restored you, amen, and made you one of his own, hallelujah, amen. But a tree is known by its fruit, and if your life is characterized by sin, you are not a child of God. The Bible says that very clearly. Because the seed of God in you will convince you and convict you, and you'll be miserable in your sin. You cannot live comfortably in sin as a child of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. See, the truly repentant are those who will receive mercy and forgiveness. There's a difference between remorse and repentance. See, Esau had been offered in the world an earthly inheritance. Amen. But there's a spiritual principle here. It has to do with one's heart, where your heart is, where your treasure is, what you really desire, what you esteem above everything else. Who is first in your life? Who is your first love? Esau forsook the Lord in exchange for the world is what this means. One morsel of meat for a bowl of pottage, right? Lentil soup. In other words, he wanted the temporary satisfaction, gratification that the world could offer him, and he took the world in exchange for his eternal inheritance. Jesus said in Matthew 16:26, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Can I suggest to you that there are those in the church who are very worldly, who love the world, that they pursue the things just of this world? And maybe somewhere God's in the equation, but God's not first. In other words, they may be claiming to be a Christian and a follower of Jesus, and they may even do some Christian things. But the real question is where is your heart at? You see, God judges according to the heart, doesn't he? We can say what we want, amen, but God sees the reality of what's going on and where your heart is at. Do you really love the Lord your God more than anything and anyone? Are you willing to give your life fully to Jesus? Have you given your life to Jesus? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus? Do you live your life for Jesus? Are you truly a disciple, a follower of Jesus? Or do you love the world more? Do you love family more? Do you love your own life more than you do the Lord? You know, Jesus is basically saying, you know what a person values, that's where his heart's at. Where his priorities are, that's where his heart's at. Moses, on the other hand, you know, he saw the value of living for Christ. You see, Esau really speaks of those who have no real regard for spiritual values. Those who willingly renounce Christ, even who escape maybe reproach from man or persecution, suffering. Those who reject or renounce the Lord cannot be renewed to repentance, even if they're remorseful. I've witnessed many times, and even in my own life, where I've been remorseful about things, but unrepentant. I was remorseful for a long time and yet not repentant. I felt bad, I felt sorry, but I never repented in my heart. So I was never changed. I was never saved until I repented. God had to bring me to the end of myself. And God will allow things to get pretty heavy in your life because he doesn't want to lose you. You shall have no other gods before me. Moses was willing to pay the price. Esau didn't want to be inconvenienced. He just wanted to have the comfort and the temporary satisfaction. He didn't care about his eternal inheritance. It was about now. It was about living for the now, for satisfaction here in this world, if you will. Moses, on the other hand, who is living in opulence, is living a very wealthy and a high-profile life, amen, in Egypt. He saw the value of suffering for the Lord. He was willing to pay the price for his deliverance and his inheritance with the people of God. He counted the cost. In Hebrews 11:24, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing, listen, rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Guys, listen, the pressure is going to increase. It's only going to increase. And the only escape is going to be in Christ, in the Lord. Amen? The only way you're going to be able to endure is in Christ alone. No psychoanalyst is going to be able to help you. Moses saw the value and forsaking the temporal things of this life that he might identify himself even in the suffering of God's people for a season, because he saw beyond the natural, he saw beyond the temporal, and he looked into the eternal, and he said, it's worth it. Are you hearing me, somebody, today? What was he saying in verse 26? Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Jesus asked the question in Luke 14:28, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation, he is not able to finish. All who see it begin to mock him. Well, you started out well, but you didn't finish. You started out in this race, but you didn't finish. You said yes to Jesus, but you didn't continue with Jesus. Why? Because you never had the roots. You got excited for a season, and you kept getting excited about the things of God, but you were like a flash in the pan. It didn't last very long. Because you didn't have the roots. You didn't go deep into your relationship with Jesus to the point where you became stable in the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing me, somebody? You must be born again. You must come through that place. There's a process of birthing. Amen? To where a person is birthed. And then there's a process once somebody is born. Amen? For them to grow up and to bear fruit. Some people are trying to bear fruit and they're not even born again. They haven't even come through the door yet, and they're trying to improve their lives and be a good Christian, but they're not even saved and they don't even know it. You see, what's happened is a lot of people have been offered the solution before they really come to the place where they knew they had the problem. I'm not talking about just being remorseful. I'm talking about being remorseful to the point that you're willing to do whatever God says. Are you hearing me? You're going to repent from your heart. And God sees the heart. See, here the Lord likened the Christian life to a building project. If you're going to build something, you've got to sit down and you've got to plan it out, whether you have enough to finish, right? His disciples should first count the cost. Whether they really mean to abandon their whole lives wholeheartedly to him. Isn't that what the Lord requires of us? Hello? Is that what does the Lord want us to fully abandon our lives to him? Wholeheartedly give our lives? Come on, somebody help me out. Is that what the Lord wants? Is that what he paid for on the cross? That we might be with him? That we might be his own special people? That we would have a heart for him only? Eyes for him only? That we will not commit fornication with his world? Because God wants his bride to be pure. He wants his people to be holy. And unless you're holy, you will not see the Lord. Unless you repent, you will never become holy. God help us. See, I said this last week, but God does not accept half-hearted offerings, half-hearted praise, half-hearted service. You can't have God's glory and presence without sacrifice. And we are called in Romans 12 to offer our bodies back to God as a living sacrifice. You cannot be a vessel of God without offering your body, amen, back to him. If you live your life for the Lord, it will be a glorious one. You'll have the joy. Not a temporary joy, but you'll have the real joy, the abiding joy, because you abide in him who is joy. Because you found a superior joy, a superior love, a superior peace. Something the world can't offer you. We got to quit trying to fulfill ourselves in the things of this life that are temporary, amen, that can never really satisfy you. And you'll never be satisfied until you are satisfied in the Lord. And then you can enjoy even some things in this world. But if you have the cart before the horse, forget it. You'll never be satisfied. You'll never be happy. You'll never be fulfilled. Why? Because only Jesus can fulfill that. Can make you, amen, to give you love and joy and peace and all the things that you're searching for. What is important, guys, is that we finish our race well. That we finish well. Amen. Not that we start out in a blaze of glory and then fizzle out, but that we finish well. The Apostle Paul spoke about a time when men would refuse to obey the truth. They may acknowledge it, they may listen to it, but they don't obey it. A time when people would refuse to repent of their sin. And this is what he meant in 2 Timothy. How many know this? Chapter 4, verse 2. He said to Timothy, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, teaching, but according to their own desires. Well, I like this church because they make me feel good. I like this church because they tell me the things I like to hear. I like this church because they never challenge me to repent of my sin. They just coddle me in my sin here. So I like this church. I can live like the devil and still go to heaven in this church. Come on, somebody. That's what's happening. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They'll look for people that will agree. Well, I've had a lot of people ask me questions only looking for the answer that agreed with what they wanted. Jesus said there's no salvation for those who refuse to repent of their sins. He's very clear about this. Luke 13 and 1, there were present at that season someone who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. You see, sometimes we want to compare ourselves to other people. Well, yeah, I don't obey God, but I'm not as bad as that guy over there. God's looking at you. Quit looking at somebody else. Amen. It's you and I that are going to give an account of ourselves to God. Amen. All right. He said another one in verse 4, are those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them. Do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. How many know Zacchaeus was a wee little man? He was a little man who was a tax collector, and he was anything but moral and upright. Okay? Nothing new under the sun, right? In some cases. Zacchaeus was greedy, and he was dishonest. Yet, the difference was that, unlike Esau, Zacchaeus had repented from his heart. And how do we know that Zacchaeus repented? Well, let's read about this a little bit. Luke 19, verse 8. Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 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 I give half of my goods to the poor. What is he doing? This is called restitution. I used to be a thief, now I'm going to give. Huh? I'm going to start actually proving by my works, by my actions, I'm bringing forth what? Works that are meet for repentance. Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, he saw his heart. He saw Zacchaeus had truly repented. He was willing not just to say, I'm sorry, but to do something about it and to change his life, his direction. Are you hearing me? And God saw his heart, and the Lord saved him because he saw his heart. Come on, because his heart was to what? To serve the Lord, to live for the Lord, to please the Lord. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. In other words, Zacchaeus was willing to do whatever it took to make things right with the Lord. How many can remember that in your own life? You were willing to do whatever it took to make sure things were right between you and the Lord. He realized that having the Lord's favor was worth far more than any amount of earthly sacrifice. Zacchaeus came to the realization that it would profit him nothing if he were to gain the whole world, here it is, and lose his soul. There are many people that are choked by riches, comfort, entertainment, so many things that have become a priority in their life. And the Lord is no longer there. They have other gods, other lovers. God calls people to repent, to turn to him, the only one who can deliver you and save you. See, Zacchaeus knew the greatest treasure of all was the Lord himself. And the greatest treasure of all had come into his house. And he was going to stop at nothing to ensure that his heart was right with God. Are you willing today to forsake all to follow Christ? Are you willing to forsake your dope? Are you willing to forsake alcohol? How about sexual sin? Are you willing to forsake your pride or your hatred or your unforgiveness, your greed? How about your worldly ambitions that you might follow Jesus? Are you willing to give him all? Are you willing to surrender all to Jesus? That's where life begins. And God doesn't take everything from you. God's looking at your heart. Amen. If he has your heart, he knows everything else will be in right priority in your life. If you're willing to repent, truly repent. You see, in Revelation, it says that even when God's judgments are poured out on this world, the wrath of God is being poured out on this world, there are going to be those who will still refuse to repent of their fornications, their sexual immorality, of their sorcery, of their pharmakia, of their drugs. They will refuse to repent. And all who refuse to repent will get what they deserve. Because Jesus went to the cross on our behalf, and God himself laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Jesus suffered and died because of sin. How can we any longer live in those things that put him on the cross? Do you really love Jesus? Then you'll obey him. Do you really want Jesus in your life? Then repent of your sin. Come to him and surrender fully your life to him, and he'll see the heart and he will save your life. I had to come to a place in my life where I was done. Done with me, done with my life, done with my ways. Sick and tired of being sick and tired. Sick and tired of living in drama. Some of you, your life is filled with drama all the time. God doesn't want you to live in drama. He wants you to have his peace, but you're going to have to repent fully. And God will intervene and he will deliver you. He'll drive the devil out of your life. He'll set you free. He'll break that yoke of oppression. He'll break that addiction in your life. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good. You'll be satisfied in the Lord. And you won't need the lesser stuff. You won't need the inferior stuff of this world. Don't be like King Agrippa. Almost convinced me. Almost gave my life to Jesus today. Almost got saved, but I'm still not willing to let go of this. I'm still not willing to let go of that. And the very things that you hold on to, the things that will keep you tethered to your old life, amen, and keep you bound up, and the devil will continue to oppress you in your old life. Why? Because you're unwilling to obey the Holy Spirit and do what he wants you to do so that you can be free. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and life more abundantly. He didn't come to take your life away. He came to give life. But you're going to have to give up your life in order to receive his life. Well, I'll give him a little. No, you got to give him the whole offering. Yeah. That's where it's at. Life begins at death. You have to be willing to die to yourself. Die to your life. And that from now on, Lord, you decide. Don't be like the one who began well, began to build, but didn't finish. Amen? Don't be like the seed that fell on the stony ground. Sprung up immediately, filled with joy, but didn't have the root. And after the sun came out, the persecution, the pressure came. And immediately it was scorched, it withered up, it died, it didn't have root. It was not saved. Just because you have an emotional decision, amen, an emotional time does not mean you're saved. Just because you feel God's presence does not mean you're saved. It means I'm saved when I give my life to him, the only one that can save me, amen, and keep me, preserve me. As I'm feeling this morning, I'm telling you, this is a word for someone here. If you will listen, if you will obey, God will save you. Don't be like Judas, who was close by Jesus but never converted. Acts 17:30, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. And he has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. You have your day in court. I have my day. We're going to see Jesus. Amen. For some of us, that's going to be a time of joy. We're looking forward to seeing Jesus. Are you looking forward to Jesus? Amen. Hallelujah. If your heart is right with God, you're looking forward. You can't wait to see Jesus. Come on. But if you're not right with God, that thought may terrorize you. It may bring some fear, because if you're not in love, amen, you're going to be in fear, and fear has torment. God wants you to be free from fear and from torment. He wants you to come completely out of the world and into him. He wants you out completely out of the kingdom of darkness. Sever every tie to your old life and completely surrender your life now to walk for the rest of your life, amen, with Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what God is calling us to. He's calling us to discipleship. He's calling us to follow him. Amen. And it is a glorious life. It is a wonderful life. It is a blessed and highly favored life. Amen. To walk with the Lord. Hallelujah. God wants you saved. Amen. He doesn't want you assuming you're okay when you're not. God wants you to repent. Amen. Are you willing to give your life completely to Jesus today? Are you saying, Lord, I hear you today, and I want to repent. I want to surrender my life. Lord, I'm tired of the mess. I'm tired of the drama. I'm tired of the fear. Lord, I ask you right now in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, overshadow every heart, every life in this place. Right now, I bind all spirits of contention. I bind all spirits of distraction in Jesus' name. All spirits that would try to rob or steal the word, I bind you right now in Jesus' name. And I bind all powers of darkness in this room in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I ask you, come right now. Fall on us. Fall on us. Lord, I ask you to save, for only you can. Are you repentant today? Are you going to be like Zacchaeus to say, Lord, I'm going to live for you now. I'm going to get out of my selfishness, and I'm going to start living my life for you. I come to you, the only one that can save me. And you're going to bear the fruit of repentance. God's calling you to die to yourself, that you might live for him. I want to ask now, just if there's anyone here that feels, I hear the word today, and I want to repent, and I want to get my life right with the Lord. Maybe you don't, haven't known how to do that. You've been trying really hard to live for God, to do what's right. But God is calling you to a surrender today. If you're willing to surrender your life today, if you're saying, I'm here and I'm willing to make that commitment to Jesus to fully surrender my life, I want you to lift up your hands. In fact, I want you to stand up if that's you. Just stand up if you say, I want to commit my life to Jesus fully today. I want to surrender my life to Jesus today. And I'm going to be ashamed to confess Jesus as my Lord. Anybody here, you want to just stand right now and make your confession. You know, the Lord says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. You want your name confessed in heaven, then you stand up for Jesus. You're here, your heart's not right with God, you want to surrender your life to Jesus, stand up right now. We're going to pray for you. Everybody here is right with God. Is that what you're saying? That everything is well with your soul? If it's not, today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is not promised for anyone. God has given you an opportunity right now. You hear the sound of his voice through my voice today. Don't resist him who speaks from heaven. Are you here today? Are you willing to surrender your life? Not one person. Shuri rabakuri ala bakushamakarada. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, break every yoke, break every chain, liberate every captive. Satan, I reject you and I renounce you in Jesus' name. Take your hands off them right now in Jesus' name. You're here today and you're bound up in addiction. God wants you to be set free. You want to be free today? I want you to stand up. You want to obey God? Stand up. We want to pray. Come on. You're bound up in addiction. You're doing some things in your life you know God doesn't want you to do. Stand up. Somebody else. Hallelujah. You're doing things you know aren't pleasing to the Lord. It's time to get it right. Come on, somebody. Okay, you're here today. You're backslidden. You're not walking like you used to with the Lord. It's time to return to the Lord. If you're a backslider, come on, stand up. Say, okay, I'm willing to give my life back to Jesus. I'm going to recommit my life today. Anybody? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you right now in Jesus' name for the work you're doing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We love you and we appreciate you. We honor you today, Father. Your word is true. We believe your word. And God, we ask you again to crush Satan. Crush him under our feet in Jesus' name. You're willing to give the Lord the whole offering today. Maybe you've just been kind of halfway into this, half-hearted, but you know today that God is calling you out to give and surrender your life fully to Jesus. I want you to stand up. You need to do that. Hallelujah. Humble yourself. Humble yourself and God will exalt you. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, God gives his grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus the Messiah, I pray, Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done in every life and every heart. And for those who have stood today, Lord, I ask you to meet them right here and right now, Lord. Whatever your need is, whatever you need to do, I just want you just to open your hearts and lift your hands to the Lord and just give it to God right now. Just surrender to the Lord. Be restored today. Be recommitted to the Lord today. Hallelujah. Guys, I'm standing up here. Amen. And I know that I need Jesus every day. Hallelujah. Amen. You got to humble yourself. Father, I ask you for mercy. And I ask you to extend your grace today, Lord. Lord, to deliver the captive. Lord, to deliver them from bondage and from self-deception even, in Jesus' name. And to God be the glory.